4 p.m. local time, some 9 hours after the ceasefire goes into effect. Israeli officials did not confirm the timing, but said they had received an initial list of who will be freed. Hamas has said it will release 50 women and children over 4 days of a ceasefire, and Israel has agreed to free 150 Palestinian women and minors from Israeli jails.
The first 13 hostages set to be released are all women and children. Leading up to the temporary pause in fighting, Israel has continued its assault on Gaza, launching several hundred airstrikes. CBS News Special Report, I'm Wendy Gillette.
What is the meaning behind Movember?
It isn't just about the mustaches.
Movember is meant to raise awareness about men's health, prostate or testicular cancer, or suicide, and also be a reminder to see your doctor. Movember started in Australia in 2003. It's now observed in more than 20 countries. So guys, remember to see your doctor, and however you celebrate this month, all of us with your local Civic Media radio station wish you a wonderful holiday season. I'm Terry Barr.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. 4 people in Wisconsin have gotten sick from salmonella poisoning from eating cantaloupes. The State Department of Health Services says 2 of them had to go to the hospital. Some whole fresh cantaloupes sold in mid-October are being recalled. So are pineapple spears with October expiration date sold at Aldi stores. Holiday cheer is tempered with sadness in Waukesha. 6 people were killed and 60 others were injured in an attack on the city's Christmas parade 2 years ago this week. A memorial was dedicated on Tuesday and flags across Wisconsin were lowered yesterday.
Horrible, horrible things happen in this world, but that healing is possible.
Jan Kwiatkowski is a member of the Dancing Grannies troupe. She lost 4 friends in the attack. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
I'm Terry Barr. A holiday tradition continues with an expanded schedule this weekend, including games on Black Friday. Football and Thanksgiving have been served up together for more than 140 years, the first featuring college teams Yale and Princeton. The NFL, National Football League, took over the holiday games in 1920. By the 1930s, Detroit became host to the yearly game, and the Packers kicked off one of the longest runs as a regular Lions opponent on Thanksgiving. A few games stand out, and some football experts point at the 1962 matchup. An undefeated Packers team lost in Detroit when the Lions beat Green Bay 26-14 after sacking quarterback Bart Starr 11 times. The Packers and Lions also hold the record for one of the holiday games with the highest score. Green Bay won this one in 1986, 44-40. For the Civic Media Radio Network, I'm Terry Barr.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
I'm not even clear from conflicting headlines whether or not Robin Voss has the cojones to move forward with impeachment against Megan Mulk. Why would he do such a thing? You know, just a couple of weeks after he said he wasn't going to do such a thing. Well, he's been threatened, huh? By what? A group headed by his primary opponent, Adam Steed.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Bucks can't stop the Celtics. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks came up short in Boston, losing to the Celtics 119-116. That snapped the Bucks' 5-game winning streak. Giannis Antetokounmpo says they've got to do a better job defending against the 3-point shots.
We just got to be better. Got to better the ones shooting a lot of threes. They get comfortable by shooting threes. They play well when they shoot threes. And then they're able to break down your defense and drive the ball, get in the paint, and then drive, you know, kick it out for another three.
And NFL, the Packers placed 2 players on injured reserve. Rookie tight end Luke Musgrave suffered a lacerated kidney in their win over the Chargers on Sunday. Running back Emmanuel Wilson also on IR with a dislocated shoulder. College football, the Badgers getting ready to face Minnesota. Wisconsin coming off that overtime win against Nebraska. Head coach Luke Fickell.
Most importantly, that when we walked back in here on Sunday, we knew what it was about. You know, we're the most prepared team.
That's Luke Fickell with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
The holiday weekend will be travel friendly overall, but it is going to be cold today. Mostly sunny, colder, 31 our high this afternoon. The wind will be northwest at 10 to 20. Tonight will drop down to 14. Tomorrow, sunshine, 28. Mostly cloudy, 31 Saturday. We'll get to 33 on Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now, 30.
The Green Bay Packers call Lambeau Field home, but did you know the stadium has a history all its own? It started with where to build it. Residents on both sides of the city wanted it. Officials argued there had to be room for growth. Eventually, farmland was purchased, but in Ashwaubenon. The bargaining continued, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Green Bay City Stadium became a reality the following year and was renamed in honor of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau in 1965. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Local talk about our hometown and all of Wisconsin has gone untapped until now. You're on 93.5 The Tap. Make sure and tell your friends.
You're listening to previously recorded content. Enjoy.
From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Broad.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Mattenair.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin, Monday, November 6th. Greg Bach in studio with me. Calvin is on the board and joining us. Delighted to see you. It's been a while. You have been on the show before. Welcome, Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski. Good morning. How are you?
Well, hello, Jane. It's so good to be here. I am great. And please send my regards to Kristen as a new mom. I totally get it as a mom of a 3.5-year-old.
Oh, you have a 3.5-year-old. Oh, so you're busy, 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 too.
Still doesn't want to sleep, you know, wants to hang out all the time. And it's fun. But, you know, these are things that we're dealing with. In fact, I'm surprised he hasn't heard that I'm talking about him and running around. Hi, everybody. I mean, he's sometimes more gregarious about these things than I am.
Oh, that's so great. Well, you have been busy and you're putting on some miles, aren't you?
Yes. One of the things that became very clear when I got into this role as Secretary of State was there's a lot of mis and disinformation about this role. And so
we've got to,
I know, shocker. So we are committed to traveling the state talking about the office. And, you know, I will tell you guys, when I walked into this office, I thought that it was going to be in a lot better position than when I walked into the state treasurer's office. I mean, as you guys might have heard, when I walked into the treasurer's office, there were wires hanging down from the ceiling. They cut off my Wi-Fi and they literally gave me a pay-as-you-go flip phone as a way to talk to constituents because it was clear the Republicans were like, who needs checks and balances? Let's do whatever we can. And it's very, like, it really reminds me of where I was 4 years ago with as many of the attacks and what they've done in setting up barriers for this office and not only a check and balance, but best serving the people of Wisconsin.
So you say you walked into the office with the expectations and then you saw the reality, which is disinformation and misinformation. What are some of the biggest hurdles you had to overcome in the opening days of your time there? Like, coming at you, like people just coming at you with their thoughts on the position.
Yeah, well, for starters, I mean, when it was announced that I was going to be appointed Secretary of State after Doug had been there since 1971, which is a long time.
Yeah.
And he was the longest serving Secretary of State in our nation's history.
Wow.
And so it took everybody, I think, for surprise. I mean, including myself. I mean, the governor asked me to step into this role on a Wednesday, and I immediately, of course, said yes. I mean, when the governor, you're sitting right across the room from him and he's asking you to serve, you say, yes, I'm honored, which I totally was.
Yeah.
I just expected I would have a little bit more time to prepare for this. And when I followed up and I said, Governor, I'm honored that you have thought of me for this role, I'm like, how much time do I have to like put together my PowerPoints and like do all my research? And he's like, what are you doing on Friday? And I'm like, wait, this Friday? And he's like, yeah, 48 hours Friday. And I'm like, I guess I'm serving as Secretary of State. He's like, right answer, Sarah. So then quickly fast forward to on Friday morning, I get a knock on the door and my, you know, 3-year-old's running around and it is someone there to swear me in. And I thought it was going to be a bit more of a ceremony. I would have more time. So I took the oath of office in my Packer pajamas, which I don't think it could have been any more Wisconsin, candidly, than that.
I think if someone would have handed you like an old fashioned afterwards. Right. Oh, good job, Secretary. That's a good swearing in. That's a good swearing in.
I know. And, you know, to cap it all off, my husband's still like, what's going on here? Like, I did not comprehend. So you guys can imagine after all of this happening very quickly, when the announcement was made, something with the mis and disinformation has been, this has been something Sarah's been planning. It's the big conspiracy theory, you know. I dropped out of the Senate race for this like glorious Secretary of State role that's in the basement.
It's so sexy. And, it's so sexy.
You know, yeah. Oh, man. I mean, why would you want to be a U.S. Senator when you can be Secretary of State? You know, I mean, it's just kind of so we were, you know, dealing with that on the onset that this has been something that we've been planning when it couldn't be further from reality when I'm just trying to figure out what this office does and just transition my life back. You know, I was in the private sector for 4 great months and then I'm back in the public sector again. So, you know.
Well, you talk about, you know, it's definitely the perfect description of hit the ground running. So how do you put together an agenda at that point? You were talking about PowerPoints. You're like, you get in on a Friday, you find where the coffee is, and now you're like, all right, let's get going. What's the process?
Well, and that's just it, Greg. You know, with all of the partisanship and bickering going on, at the end of the day, Wisconsinites just want their elected officials to do their job. Yep,
that would be nice.
You know, they just want them to like get to work. And so for me, I'm like, I just am not going to engage and I'm going to put my head down mm-hmm. and really start figuring out what should and could this role do for the people of Wisconsin. And so it was everything from, you know, boring stuff and reading state statutes. But then what's fascinating is I'm reading these state statutes and then I'm finding out we have federal responsibilities that aren't captured in state statute that, you know, working with the State Department yeah. or things when it comes to like, you know, we keep the Electoral College or we validate and witness the presidential election. So it's like, there's these different federal statutes that weren't captured in the state. And mm-hmm. so it was kind of putting all of this together to make sure we were actually doing our job for the people of Wisconsin.
We're speaking with the Wisconsin Secretary of State, Sarah Godlewski, talking about some of the excitement, the challenges. And now you brought up elections. If you are even having your head down in the sand, you know that elections are a huge deal in this state and every state. We're 1 year away from the presidential election. What is it going to be for you to help make sure that, you know, we have very safe elections and it's been stated there before. I guess what I'm saying is for the state elections with this whole misinformation, disinformation thing happening, how are you going to protect our elections from those types of things in your time there?
So Wisconsin is one of like, I think it's 10 states that the Secretary of State does not administer elections.
Oh, okay.
So we do not administer elections here in Wisconsin. It was where we are now is the Wisconsin Election Commission, which was what Scott Walker designed,
right.
Where we have three Republicans and three Democrats, and then a woman named Megan Wolf, who is overseeing all of this. But one of our unique connections is we are supposed to be working with all 1,850 clerks. And I will tell you guys, when I travel and talk to some of these clerks, like the attacks that they are hearing, like are experiencing hands-on, is just horrifying. And these are public servants that got into the job because they believe in making a difference, but they're getting all this pressure where if they don't believe into the like ultra mega kind of conspiracy theory, that then, you know, like they're just not going to see the end of it. And so I think something that we've been working really hard on is how do we help build capacity with our clerks? And also at the same time, how are we working to address this mis and disinformation? Because it's so critical as we look at the important roles that all 1,850 play across our state.
Well, and I can only imagine in some of these smaller communities for these clerks, they know everybody in town. And yeah, the damage that this disinformation has done to relationships and friendships. And as you said, people are who are acting as election officials aren't doing this either because it's such a sexy job. It's, right, you know, and I can't imagine it's that great of a paying job either. It's probably pretty average. So the people who actually want to do this job, I would have to think are doing it for the right reasons.
Oh, 100%. They are these great public servants that are, you know, elections isn't the only thing that they do. They're doing everything from like record keeping to marriage licenses to all sorts of different vital records that we need for our communities. And so it's really important, and we're losing them. We're not able to find replacements. And so this is something that is really important to the fabric of operations with government and honestly the fabric of our democracy.
We only have a couple more minutes left with you, Secretary. And one of the things I wanted to touch on, when I worked in Racine for the mayor, one of the things he always talked about was economic development within the city. I know that's one of the things that you are very focused on as well. Can you speak a little bit about what you're going to be doing with regard to that?
Yeah. So one of the unique responsibilities is I now chair a $1.4 billion trust fund, and that helps to finance our public schools. So we provide an annual distribution for our public schools for books and technology. And we also do financing across the state. We help finance local community projects, and we've done that to the tail of tens of millions of dollars, hundreds of millions. But my colleagues across the country, these other secretaries of state, have used their international responsibilities to advocate for their state. So think about Buy Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And they've been doing like Buy Delaware. And so we know that there are so many opportunities to be advocating for our great, you know, workers and our great industries, whether we think about timber to ginseng to healthcare. I mean, there is so much that we can be doing. And so we really look forward to helping to be a part of that ecosystem, because the more people advocating for this, the better.
And I'm just curious, do you actually have a decent working cell phone now and like lights in your office?
So the question is no, we still don't. And this is why we're being scrappy. And like, honestly, we're modernizing the office, and we've got a lot more coming on. But yes, we still don't have that quite yet, but stay tuned.
Well, maybe one day. Maybe one day.
Dream big, Secretary. Dream big.
It's been wonderful having you here. She is Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski. Thank you so much for carving us a little time for us today. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Have a great day. Stay with us. When we come back, we're talking a little bit about turkey. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Chris from Middleton, welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
I'm a Democrat. I totally agree that there's been too much corporate influence probably in the Democratic Party. I liked how Bernie talked about economic issues, and I agree we need more of that. But I don't think we can also afford to shy away from the identity politics. In fact, we got to lean into the identity politics and not be shy about it.
The Devil's Advocates radio show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to previously recorded content. Enjoy.
Closing time. Open all the doors.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry. Calvin's on the board. Greg Bach with me in studio. And you at 844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY. Yes. All right. Thanksgiving is going to be here in just a couple of weeks.
Can't wait.
Your favorite holiday?
No. But I love it. It starts the holidays. It starts
the official season.
Yes. I just, ooh, it's so much fun. Oh, I can't wait.
Calvin, strong feelings about Thanksgiving?
I like it. It's okay, I guess. Yeah. I like to cook, so I...
Oh.
You do?
What? Yes. Actually, the last 2 years, I've made the turkey for my family's Thanksgiving.
Oh, my gosh, Calvin.
Now, does that also include, like, making stuffing?
Usually my mom helps out with that part. I take care of the meat.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good.
Calvin, he takes care of the meat.
We're working on a nickname for you, Calvin, so that we'll keep this all in mind as
Calviente. That's my nickname for him. Calviente.
Calviente is good.
When Calvin gets spicy about a topic, it's great to listen to.
It actually is. All right. So Thanksgiving is Thursday, November 23rd, and I have to say I am delighted by this trend that I think ultimately started, was it with COVID, when stores aren't open on Thanksgiving anymore, because I don't think they should be.
I think they should be open maybe in the morning, in case you forget something.
Grocery stores.
Yeah. Are you talking about like...
I'm talking about Walmart and Target.
Yeah.
And
no, those should be closed.
The big Thanksgiving Day sales and stuff. I always felt that that was really unfair to the employees.
Yeah.
And it was also disturbing to see how people would behave like animals trying to get something for $5 off.
Well, I mean, I used to work for a company. That has a Black Friday sale. So I like that kind of thing. Yeah. I think it could be fun, but it's also like you got to make it like if Walmart said, hey, everybody, we're doing a Black Friday or a Thanksgiving thing. All of our employees make time and a half today. Like they walk away with something in their paychecks to work for the time because it's a holiday and they should. It just seems fair to me.
If they would get extra compensation.
Yes.
For it.
Yes.
Okay, I wouldn't have a problem with that. Calvin, what about you? What do you think about working on Thanksgiving?
I think, and maybe I'm wrong on this, but don't you have to get some sort of holiday pay on national holidays?
I mean, possible. I don't. When it comes to places like the Walmarts and the Amazons, I don't know if they have. Because I worked for Blockbuster Video. That's a very old reference for you kids out there. But I worked for Blockbuster Video, and I worked Thanksgiving. And I didn't get paid anything other than my wage.
Your regular pay.
Yes.
When I cooked at a nursing home, my holiday I preferred to work was Christmas Day. I preferred that over Christmas Eve and Thanksgiving.
Hmm. Just because
of the way with my family gets together and whatnot, Christmas Day is the least exciting. Okay. Yeah.
Sure. That makes sense. Well, there's a lineup in the Today's Journal Sentinel by Claire Reed, just about what is going to be open and what is not going to be open on Thanksgiving. For the fourth year in a row, all Walmart stores across the country closed on Thanksgiving Day. They will open regular hours the day before, and then they'll open early the day after for Black Friday. Mm-hmm. But Target stores nationwide will not be open on Thanksgiving Day. Starting in 2021, they announced that they would be closed on Thanksgiving Day going forward. And then some grocery stores, too, will be closed. Aldi, Costco, Metcalf's in Tosa, and Trader Joe's, and Best Buy, Home Depot, Kohl's, and Lowe's.
Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if places like, you know, Target and Best Buy and Walmart close on those days. But they have employees show up to start inventorying and prepping for the next day.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
They're closed to us, but that doesn't mean people aren't working.
Yeah, yeah. That's a really good point.
Yeah.
All Sendex will be open with regular hours, 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. at most of their locations on Turkey Day. No, 7 to 9.
That's just mean.
I could see 7 to noon.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was saying. Is like I wasn't
you forgot cranberries and you got to go get cranberries.
Yep, exactly. But who's coming to a grocery store at 8 o'clock on... Even people who don't celebrate, even people who... You're at home.
Well, and by 9 o'clock, haven't we all pretty much eaten by then?
We've eaten, plus... I mean, it takes money. You got to pay those employees, pay to keep the lights on. How feasible is it for them to have all that energy happening?
And all that staff.
I can't imagine... I imagine their sales have to plummet after, like, 1 o'clock.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I
would think so too. And then there's a couple of more that will be open on Thanksgiving Day. If you need something, Milwaukee's Fresh Thyme on Pleasant Street, 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. That's not terrible.
Yeah.
Whole food stores will have modified hours on Thanksgiving Day. And CVS and Walgreens pharmacies will be open on Turkey Day. But you want to check with your local store if there's something that you need.
I don't think Walgreens ever closes.
But their pharmacies are having problems with staff.
Actually, we were talking about this morning on the Pat Kreitlow show. Is like, I went in to get I got my COVID and my flu vaccination yesterday.
Good for you.
Thank you. I'm a hero. And I had to wait over two other people. Like, it was such a wait to get my vaccine. Nothing against them. I'm not complaining at all. I got my vaccination. It's good to go. Fine. Cool dandy. But I had to wait a while. And my guess is because they were probably short-staffed.
And I think that this is a statewide issue, again, much like childcare and healthcare and everything else. Yeah. They're getting burned out.
Yeah.
And I thought there was some talk of a potential walkout.
Yes. I don't know if it was Walgreens, but there was. I believe it is Walgreens. Yeah, because a unionizing type of thing, because they're constantly complaining to upper management about the fact that they are so short-staffed all the time.
Well, now they even close for lunch hours.
Yep. Yep.
Which they should.
Yeah. It's a half an hour, and they get a half an hour. It's not like they're taking an hour long break.
Right. Be nice to your pharmacy people.
Be nice to all your employees. It builds morale. It builds, builds trust and those kinds of things. I don't know. I don't understand it. Like, I get angry. I get mad. I get mad, Jerry.
don't go down the mad path, Greg.
I won't go down the mad path.
Don't go down the mad path. Again, I think this is a good trend. I'm glad to see that a lot of companies are at least giving their employees one day off, and it doesn't have to be just all about collecting more stuff.
Well, that's what I want to know is how many of them are closed versus how many of them don't have employees in the building. That's a huge difference.
It is a huge difference. Yeah. As you said, the Good Friday sales will still go on.
The Good Friday sales?
Or the Good Friday sales. The Black Friday sales.
Those are great Friday sales.
I did it once with a girlfriend of mine. And we got up at like 4 o'clock in the morning. And I swore I would never do it again.
When I worked for Lakefront Brewery, I worked them Black Friday 2 years in a row. And I got there like 5:30. It goes fast. It goes by very, very fast.
I suppose it does.
And people start waiting there around 7 o'clock on Thanksgiving night. And it's... hundreds of people show up.
Wow.
And I'm going to be in Indiana this year. Yeah, me!
All right. Well, stay with us. Coming up, we turned our clocks back over the weekend.
And we're still here.
And we are still here. There's an unexpected correlation, though, between turning the clocks back and something else. And we'll have all the details when we return. Stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end.
On air, 93.5 FM. Online, thetap.com. And on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. A fugitive is now formally charged with the death of his 12-year-old son, whose decomposing body was found in a home in Milwaukee last month. The Milwaukee County District Attorney's Office filed reckless homicide charges this week against Romuan Moy. No one is sure exactly when Jackery Robinson died or how. Meanwhile, Moy is on the run and there's a warrant out for his arrest. Prosecutors in Wisconsin may Sunday get more time to file sexual assault charges. Republican Senator Andre Jacques is introducing a bill to extend the statute of limitations for sex crimes in Wisconsin from 10 years to 20. Jacques says prosecutors in other states have 20 years to press sexual assault charges. A similar bill passed the state Senate last year but stalled in the Assembly. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
I'm Terry Barr. A small company creates a big business because of its leftover Thanksgiving turkey and what it means to meals today. An Instacart survey shows 98% of grocery store shoppers buy a half dozen frozen meals every year. But in 1954, it takes an over-order by Swanson Foods for the idea of a reheatable dinner to become reality. Employees at the time are facing 260 tons of extra turkey, and rather than eat the huge financial loss, individual turkey dinners are created using airline meals as an example. Each tray includes the turkey along with dressing, potatoes, gravy, and peas in individual sections. It's frozen, shipped off to grocery stores, and before the end of the year, 10 million of these trays, now being called TV dinners, are sold at just 98 cents a piece. For the Civic Media Radio Network, I'm Terry Barr.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Bucks can't stop the Celtics.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks came up short in Boston, losing to the Celtics 119-116. That snapped the Bucks' five-game winning streak. Giannis Antetokounmpo says they've got to do a better job defending against the three-point shots.
We just got to be better. Got to better the ones shoot a lot of threes. They get comfortable by shooting threes. They play well when they shoot threes. And then they're able to break down your defense and drive the ball, get in the paint, and then kick it out for another three.
And NFL, the Packers placed two players on injured reserve. Rookie tight end Luke Musgrave suffered a lacerated kidney in their win over the Chargers on Sunday. Running back Emmanuel Wilson also on IR with a dislocated shoulder. College football, the Badgers getting ready to face Minnesota. Wisconsin coming off that overtime win against Nebraska. Head coach Luke Fickell.
Most importantly, that when we walked back in here on Sunday, we knew what it was about. We're the most prepared team.
That's Luke Fickell with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
The holiday weekend will be travel-friendly overall, but it is going to be cold today. Mostly sunny, colder, 31 our high this afternoon. The wind will be northwest at 10 to 20. Tonight will drop down to 14. Tomorrow, sunshine, 28. Mostly cloudy, 31 Saturday. We'll get to 33 on Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 28.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the Valley and all of Wisconsin.
In fact, it's on tap every day.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to previously recorded content. Enjoy.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matt there in for Kristen Bry. Calvin on the board. Greg with me in studio. And joining us from home, via StreamYard, Kristen Bry. How are you, my friend? How you doing? You look great.
Oh, thank you.
You do.
I was just thinking that it's so gray outside, so there's not a lot of sunlight in here, so I look like the ghost of Halloween of some sort.
I just
look a little pale because winter is coming.
Maybe I just haven't hung around a lot of new moms, but you don't. You look gorgeous. You don't look tired. You don't look stressed. How's
well, I did put makeup on this morning, so that helps. that's like a maybe the fourth time that's happened since Frankie arrived. But you know, when you have to look at yourself on camera, you're like, well, let's
spiff that up a little.
Let's
bit.
Zhuzh this. A little bit. Let's zhuzh it.
Yeah, we'll zhuzh. How is the baby?
The baby's good. The baby is sleeping. She's entered the stage of she's definitely awake more during the day, but then when she is awake, she's kind of a ticking time bomb until she is wailing. And so it's like a fun little bit of her looking around, and we like look at contrast cards and we do some stuff, but she's still not really smiling or necessarily reacting. And then all of a sudden it's just
screaming.
And it's like, are you hungry? No. Do you need to burp sometimes? And then sometimes she's just tired. Yeah. She just needs to be put back, soothed and put back to sleep. Just like all of us sometimes.
Absolutely. Who doesn't want to be swayed a little bit and then go lay down for a nice nap?
I do. Thank you.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
All right. Exactly. We're gonna kick things off with the good, the bad, and you found a what in your ear?
Oh God.
Yeah. Oh, it's up there with last week's House of Bad Hell story.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. But we're going to start out with the good, and this really is a wonderful thing. Internet is being expanded all over Wisconsin.
Good.
This is good. It's part of a big push to help connect people in sparsely populated areas. $28 million project connecting thousands of rural residents and farmers in Richland, Dane, Iowa, Juneau, and Sauk counties. And an initiative to switch 1,500 Washington County residents to a higher speed service. So they're actually bringing it out now to Washington Island. Off of Bayfield. So again, you cannot function in society today without the internet. You just can't.
Yeah.
Wait, is Washington Island off of Bayfield or is that off of Door County?
Off of Bayfield.
What's the island off of Door County that has the bitters? The bar where you can take the shot of bitters and enter the club.
Is that Washington Island? That might be Washington Island. We're getting our islands confused now.
Well, and I was just thinking that because if that's Washington Island, I have been there. And I will say, I don't know there's not a lot there. And so I think that would not be my thought as far as the priority of extending internet because it's a lot of trails. And certainly, I mean, the bar that you go to and you get the bitters club, maybe they would benefit from some internet because they're a business. But when I think about so many of the different areas in Wisconsin that certainly need it because there's schools and houses and commercial establishments and such. And so when I think of Washington Island, I think of like recreational camping and like there's a beach that has all these like really flat, smooth stones, but you cannot take the stones. It is illegal to take the stones.
Ooh, stone police.
Challenge accepted. Washington Island is in Door County.
Yeah, is in Door County. Okay. And there are 700 people who live there year round.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, there we go.
Yeah.
Learn something new.
And now
day.
They're getting some internet, baby.
Yeah. But again, I can't even imagine what a struggle it must be just for kids trying to do homework, parents trying to pay bills, connecting with, you know, Zooming with friends or whatever it is that you want to do. So that's all good news. That is certainly a step in the right direction, although there are still about 246,000 homes and businesses that lack access to internet speeds, and I don't know what this means, of 25.3 Mbps.
Means fast enough.
Yeah.
Not fast enough.
It's fast enough to not be buffering every time you want to watch anything on YouTube.
Can you imagine how maddening that would be?
Can you imagine?
I mean, that's what we all used to do, right? Yeah. Remember that, like, this was not so long. I mean, it is. It's like 15 years now. But I remember having to download entire episodes of, like, when the first time I was ever watching The Wire, downloading an entire episode and then coming back and watch it. versus the entire idea of streaming and just being frustrated when it isn't seamless.
Well, I mean, back when I first got on the internet, when I was like 17, if you just wanted to watch like a scene from a movie, you'd have to download it for like 4 hours.
Yeah.
And you could sign up AOL. You could only like, there was no such thing as like broadband. It was dial up only. And yep.
Dial up.
You
yes.
had to pick like your plan, like how many hours a month do you want? Do you want 24 hours? If you go to 25 hours, we'll destroy you with charges.
Yeah. That is remarkable. Well, when you think about how far this technology has come so yeah. quickly, again, considering the dial up, oh my gosh, that we didn't all just snap. Now we would all snap.
Oh, it'd be hilarious.
Right?
I wish I could have it by memory. Like, I wish I could just go straight into the dial-up tone, but I think I would butcher it and know it. And it's not an attractive sound. Yeah. It's very much the dumber. Do you want to hear the most annoying sound in the world? And I'm not going, as an audio medium, I'm not going to do that to people.
I think that's wise.
I will do my one dial-up impression that I have. It's not the dial-up tone. It's just when you signed on, you've got mail. That sound made you feel so, because there was not really junk mail at the time. They hadn't gotten themselves together in the late 90s. So if you got email, it was from someone who wanted to talk to you.
Yes, absolutely.
And it was amazing.
It was amazing. All right. Well, that is the good. Moving on to the bad. Again, it's a little bit of both. Wisconsin State Senator Rachel Cabral Guevara, a Republican from Appleton, is talking about the child care crisis and the child care situation that we're in with not enough providers and yeah. the expense of it. And she has said that she has talked to people who are only charging $2.25 an hour for child care.
Wait, what?
Yeah. During an October 18th hearing for the GOP bills, she said, I had folks coming in. I was asking them, how much are you charging an hour for child care? And some of them told me $2 to $2.25 an hour. And I said, well, maybe you need to increase your prices.
Did she think she heard $2.25 and not $225 an hour?
No, I think she heard $2.25.
There's nothing that makes my heart happier than when any political official, especially Republicans, say, I've been talking to people.
Many people are saying.
A lot of people are telling me.
I mean, and now you know you've been exploring this, right, Kristen? You're starting to look around for providers.
Well, we're going to do a nanny share.
Okay.
So we have friends whose kid is 14 months, and they've been doing a nanny share with another family for the last year since they had their kid and went back to work. And their nanny feels like she's confident she can take another baby on. And so we'll be doing that with two other families. And so she charges, when it's three kids, she charges $13.50 per kid.
An hour.
An hour.
An hour.
And so when it's just her one-on-one with a kid, she charges $22.50.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
I didn't even know nanny share was a thing.
It is a thing.
Wow.
It's a little bit more flexible, at least what we're setting up. It's a little bit more flexible because some of the things with daycare is you have to be full-time. Mm-hmm. Like if your kid is sick or if any other kids are sick, like there's just because they're bigger, right? And so like the precautions that have to go into place when there's more kids involved and everything. And you know, the regulations as it is 1 to 4 for infants. So I can't even imagine that. Like having one crying infant right now and then being a daycare provider or a childcare provider and having four kids under one that you're in charge of, and that like that is normal, or that is like even beyond that, that one of the solutions that's been offered is like, well, we should up the ante. We should be like, oh, they can take care of six.
Right.
Because that's listed as one of the reasons why childcare has gotten so expensive is because of regulations, right? And one of the regulations being based on age, how many kids one person can reasonably look after. And I'm just saying right now, if you ever put me in charge of four babies, good luck getting that baby back. All four of them. I mean, you only got two arms. So the fact that they can barely hold one, let alone four.
We have a friend of ours who owns two daycare services up in the North Shore. And she told us when we first got married, she goes, and when you have a kid, they'll get free daycare from me. And neither Bridget and I want Ted, nor do we want now children.
Right.
But we did look at each other going, that's a pretty good deal. I mean, that's some savings right there. We could save for college or something. That's, if anything, the bragging rights.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that is a lot of money.
Yeah.
It is a lot of money. And again, I don't doubt that there are maybe some child care providers in some of the smaller rural communities where someone is working out of her house that she can charge $250 an hour. But that is not the experience of most people. And I think it's terrible that a child care provider is only making $225. You can't live on that.
There's a part of me that's like also saying, I don't believe you.
I know. I have a hard time believing that. And if she heard it from one person, then she heard it from one person who's in a very unique situation where they can charge that and are probably maybe independently wealthy or have a spouse that is covering the cost of a lot of things.
Right.
Cause that is just, I mean, that's not even a cup of coffee. That's not even a grande Starbucks coffee.
That's less
that's
than
drip
what
a coffee, not a latte, a drip coffee at Starbucks is like $3.50.
That's less than what a server makes. That's less than minimum wage for a server too. I mean,
oh yeah,
that's not a,
but you know,
I want more questions. I want more follow-up questions of whoever wrote that article.
Well, we can do that.
I do like you're enough. It's not even a drip coffee. That's your Starbucks to.
No, it's not even a fancy coffee. It's just drip. It's just the big, the most, the best margins you'll ever get is as a coffee business is like, oh, we made 5 gallons of coffee and we're going to charge you $3.50 per cup, even though it cost us about 5 cents to make.
Oh, now I want some coffee.
But again, I just find it interesting that this is supposed to be a positive because, well, look at how affordable this is. If they're, you know, if they're only charging $225 for daycare, that is not a positive for the daycare provider that you can't make a living like that.
Well, if you deregulate it, then everything's fine, Jane.
Just as many kids as you can handle.
Yes.
That is not that's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah. It's also a recipe for neglect. Or especially once they're walking around, like, and you know, you have like over one is 1 to 6 or 1 to 7. And I'm just saying, like, trying to watch toddlers, like, that's the next challenge that I'm not necessarily looking forward to. Right now, it's like she can just be in there and I can go about my business.
Now,
toddlers, not so much.
When you have to say, oh, where is she?
Yeah. Once she starts motoring, it's going to be a whole different world.
When you start debating, do we get a child leash?
I was going to ask you about that.
But they have monkeys on them.
I can understand why parents do that. I mean, there is a range where you cannot reason with these little people, right? Don't run in the road.
Children and terrorists. You can't reason with them.
But you can. It's like, don't run in the road. I'm going to go run in the road because I am a toddler. And so I can see why people would leash their children.
Leash their children.
Leash their children.
No judgment.
Oh, I think you said leash your children. I just wanted to get the good parking.
Oh,
never mind.
No, different kind of thing. All right. Well, and just out of curiosity, if you are paying for childcare, text in how much you pay an hour. I'm really, really curious.
Yeah.
From all over the state, whether you're listening in the Northwoods or Amory or Wisconsin Rapids, 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Falling asleep at the wheel.
I'm looking at a text from Lynn.
Oh.
Lynn sent us a text. It was a nice one. She said, Washington Island, best fast food. Schoolhouse Beach, watch the drop-off and definitely a challenge if you have bad needs.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Thank you, Lynn. And she quit. You're texting us a lot, Lynn. I think your phone's going crazy.
All right. When we come back, you found a what in your ear?
I'm not looking forward to
this. Oh, it's a dandy. Stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
What do you mean he's not coming in? This is our busiest time.
The mixologist at Claude's Bar is moving to Manhattan.
I'm already down two bar backs. No one's manning front of
house. Now he needs an equally cosmopolitan replacement.
How am I going to find a new bartender before New Year's Eve?
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Instant Match instantly connects you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your sponsored job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
This holiday season, Capital One reminds you to give yourself the gift of 1.5% cash back with the Capital One Quicksilver Card.
Can I earn 1.5% cash back on birds?
Birds?
What if you sent your true love two turtle doves plus a partridge in a pear tree?
Sure, but why would anyone want that?
The song was very convincing.
Earn 1.5% cash back on all your holiday purchases with the Capital One Quicksilver Card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
You're listening to previously recorded content. Enjoy.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matner in for Kristen Rye at 10 minutes before 11 o'clock. Greg Buck with me in studio. Calvin on the board. And new mom Kristen Rye joining us on StreamYard. If you want to watch the live stream, you can always find it on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. I'm not going to call it that other thing. I refuse.
Totally called it that the other day.
I know. I slipped, and I will never forgive myself. Bite me, Elmo. Anyway, we were taking some texts on how much you pay for childcare. I'm just curious. And Michael checking in, he says $255 a week for a newborn in northwestern Wisconsin. And that's low end compared to what other people pay.
That is low, especially if it's full time.
I mean, for a newborn,
hours, you know, 9 to 5.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then Sarah says, leashing your kids is nothing new. My 68-year-old father still tells stories of his parents leashing him to the clothesline so he wouldn't run off.
That's funny.
I would do that.
You would do that. I could see that.
Or duct tape, you know.
How was babysitting, Jane? Easy.
It was super easy. I knew where she was the entire time. All right. The good, the bad, and you found a what stuck in your ear? This is in Missouri. 29-year-old Desiree Kelly woke up at 5 a.m. on October 18th with a strange fluttering sensation in her right ear. Initially, she thought this was just a tassel that's on the comforter, and she went back to sleep. But when she woke up, she considered going to urgent care. She almost talked herself out of going because she thought, this is all in my head. It's 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm tired. But her fiance begged her to go in. So she went to the urgent care. This is when Desiree said she's waiting in the waiting room and I felt something move in my ear. It felt like something was at the base of the eardrum. In that moment, I was convinced it was wax. And I started crying, one, because it was uncomfortable, two, I was embarrassed that they're going to look in my ear and tell me it's wax and tell me I'm doing a terrible job cleaning out my ears. That is not what happened. A nurse noted something in the ear and told her, well, it definitely isn't a moth. She had never even considered it could be a moth. Not a moth. The nurse tells her it's curled up in the back. Now the nurse started treating the ear while you irrigate it with water. And then they have a bowl underneath you. And we're dumping the bowl and we dump the bowl probably 3 times. And then she goes over to the sink to get more water. While she's refilling the bottle, I felt it moving at the back of my ear. And she rushed over telling me, put the bowl up to your ear, quick. That's when she saw a black object fall out of your ear onto a sweater. It was a spider. I watched something jump from my shoulder to the ground, and then I watched it crawl away. That's when I realized it was a spider that was still alive. I was looking at it. It wasn't small. It was about the size of a nickel. Luckily, there was no damage to the eardrum, no medication, and additionally, this is good news. Her ear free of spider parts and spider eggs, which is always how you want that to wrap up. But now she said, essentially she will never go to sleep now without wearing earplugs.
Is that what we're all supposed to be doing? Is just to prevent this from ever happening? Because I know it's not common, but it's not.
It's not.
I feel
that
like these stories.
It's happened before.
I just want to know how it stays alive in your ear, like how it doesn't like get suffocated or crushed or something. Like it can't seem like a hospitable environment to be crawling, Kristen. Pods? To be crawling inside of your ear, just doing this all the time, just trying to gross her out.
I know, I can tell.
Well, I feel like, was this originally a TikTok?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I've seen. I think I saw this one.
And
I had, but I also saw it the first time. It was like 3 a.m. as I was nursing Frankie. And
Oh god!
Because I don't know. This is. It's funny because I think Todd Alba is starting to do What's Worse as a segment every day, and this, which is, you know, is a little bit like Would You Rather, and it's like, would you rather have a spider in your ear moving around, or compared to what? Like, or compared to last week, where would you rather be in a house full of thousands of bats?
I think I'd rather
inescapable
spider, because
you would yeah, probably
bats
spider
requires a shot,
rabies
and the whole thing. Although, I mean, hey, if they get some money from Airbnb, I don't know.
They're both pretty bad.
Yeah, they're not.
Is this what we're gonna do now every week? Let's just find a story to just completely disgust Kristen. The good, the bad, and make Kristen go,
"Ugh." Oh, that was creepy. It might be. All right, what's coming up for the rest of your day today, Mama Bri?
Well, we're still trying to get on a schedule of some sort. But the next big thing is I'm going to try to take her to the grocery store, because I'm going to try to make some lactation cookies.
That
have like oatmeal and a bunch of stuff in there. I actually, because I saw you guys have Mr. Matt Wild coming up next, and I saw that they, which is so on brand for Milwaukee Record, to be doing a casserole cook-off.
Awesome.
And so, but I cooked a casserole last night, and so I'm kind of in a cooking thing right now, because cooking feels like something I can do, because she really likes the carrier, like the soft carrier where she's on my body, but because like just putting her and leaving her in the bassinet, I think she just wants attention sometimes.
Sure, yeah.
And so what can I do when the soft carrier, like with her on me? It's kind of a workout, but it's like I can cook. So so those are probably cooking some cookies that are somewhat healthy is coming up for today. Maybe going for a walk if it doesn't rain.
Looks like rain let up.
A little bit.
All right. And then, I don't know, attempting to do some other to-do list type things. But, you know, always optimal word being attempt.
Yeah.
Well, all you can do is try, right? All you can do is try.
I just want to say really quickly, Bridget made some they weren't casseroles, but they were very wintry comfort foods. She made chili. Her chili is amazing. Then she made a cream of chicken, I guess a casserole, but it's just not in the casserole dish, with mushrooms. And then she made marinated steak stroganoff.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So all in one day?
She made two in one and then one the next day.
Does she freeze them so you just have them for whenever you want?
They're gone in a week.
Oh.
Yeah. We plow through those immediately. And she'll make, I don't know, probably like 5 gallons of chili throughout winter. She just makes it, and that's it. Nice. It's amazing.
All right. Well, stick around. We have the news coming up next, followed by Milwaukee Records' Matt Wild will be joining us. Thank you so much, Kristen, for checking in with us. We will see you again next Wednesday at 10:33. Give the baby a squeeze from us.
Will do. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Don't go away. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center. The entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5 The Tap. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
You probably heard the quote, friends are family you choose. It's also the idea behind the other Thanksgiving holiday, Friendsgiving. Some credit shows, like Friends, for starting this trend by featuring a day meant to celebrate with those who aren't your relatives. And when to gather is up to you. Many celebrate just before Thanksgiving, while others wait until after the official holiday. However you celebrate, all of us with your local Civic Media radio station wish you a wonderful holiday season. I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Qatar's foreign ministry says the first pause in fighting in Gaza will start at midnight Eastern time, with the first Hamas hostages to be released 9 hours later. And this from spokesman Majed Al-Ansari.
They will be 13 in number, all women and children.